This is Brittany Halavach. I'm a junior at Staley High School, and I will be interviewing Ryan Dittmer, Country and Education Editor for the Liberty Tribune. Okay, so to start off, what sparked your passion for journalism, and what helped nurture it into a career for you?
Well, for most of my life growing up, both of my parents were teachers, and so I was very familiar with education. I thought for the longest time that that was the career that I wanted to go into myself. But then when I was going into high school, I applied to be on the yearbook staff because I was interested in graphic design and thought maybe that would be a fun hobby to kind of have throughout life, and got onto the staff my freshman year, but was given a reporter position, and kind of that first year found out that I really did liked writing. It was something that came pretty easy to me, and stuck with the yearbook staff throughout high school and kind of moved up in the staff position list and kept writing, kept enjoying it. And really by my junior year then in high school, I was pretty convinced that that was the career I wanted to go into, and that I was pretty sure that it was something I really enjoyed, and then served as editor my senior year there at Liberty High School for the yearbook. And that year really kind of solidified that that was the career that I was interested in going into. Kept up student publications when I was attending Iowa State University, worked for the newspaper there, worked for a couple of different department publications, and then also some things with the Greek community as well during my time there. And by the time I was done with college, was certainly convinced that journalism was what I wanted to do with my life.
Okay, so I didn't write that question down. What inspired you while you were outside of high school publications? What else inspired you in journalism to want to pursue it more?
I think just in general, I've always enjoyed being informed about things. I always have liked watching the news, liked reading different publications and kind of keeping up to date on current events. But I think the thing that I really enjoy that is just the storytelling aspect and sharing people's life experiences and kind of who they are. I think that's something that I always enjoy reading. And so whenever I have the opportunity to do kind of a profile story or kind of help inform people about interesting things that are going on, I think that's definitely a big drive and something that kept me interested in that industry.
Okay, so can you expand on how you think journalism affects the world more, and how do you think like journalism is becoming more digital rather than print? How do you think that is impacting the effect of it?
Yeah, I can say that on my very first day in college, my Journalism 101 class, the professor started, she did kind of her introductions, and then she said, where journalism is today is going to be in a completely different place 4 years from now when you graduate. And she said, and we don't even know what that's going to be. I started at Iowa State in the fall of 2008, and Facebook was around then, but it really wasn't anything other than just posting pictures and chatting with your friends. Twitter was just getting started and was something that people thought was more of a waste of time than anything. But I really think, kind of going to the start of that question, journalism and that industry really helps spread information around and across national borders, across oceans, and really the digital aspect of that and how that's evolving is just making that transfer of information so much more instantaneous and so much more viral. It's been just having the opportunity to kind of watch Twitter evolve over these past couple years and watch Facebook evolve, and now you have Instagram and all these different social apps that news media, as well as just average citizens, are using to spread and share news, that it's really kind of made everyone almost capable of being a news reporter, because people who are live at scenes can be taking photos, taking video, and sometimes that has better results than other times. The one drawback of how things can spread so viral over the internet now is that a lot of times misinformation can spread just as quickly or even faster than the actual information. And that's something that is very frustrating for people who are in the industry, because sometimes that that thing that may sound really exciting is not the truth. And then having to try to broadcast the truth, it doesn't always latch on and get that share factor and that like factor. So it's something that the industry is really having to try to figure out how to kind of hone in all that social media and all that online factor, and how to harness it in a way that you can keep that information spreading while at the same time making sure that the proper information is getting spread. Kind of the one of the other issues with the digital switch is how, just like any business, every news media wants to make money to stay in operation and keep their employees. And that with the internet, that's such a hard dynamic, because kind of the philosophy for a lot of people is, well, you could go to any news media website, but if they put a paywall up, if they require people to subscribe to get that information, a lot of people think, oh, well, I can probably find it for free somewhere else. And in all actuality, that's pretty true. There's always probably somewhere else that you can find that information. But then when you are going away from trusted sources to either a person who's saying on Twitter that they're there, that they're informed, you have to kind of take that and be really more more cautious about that news that you're getting, and really be kind of questioning of the sources and where that you're getting your information from, because if you're getting it for free, you might be getting exactly what you pay for.
Okay, so the media can be inaccurate a lot. So is there anything that you as a journalist are doing to be just as entertaining as the false information? Like, do you think it's evolving into a different style and just different because of media?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Because a lot of times those sensational stories are the ones that get shared so much because they're exciting and people get emotionally attached to certain issues. And when you put kind of a certain spin on it, that really gets a lot more interaction with people. But that really is the challenge for my time just with the Liberty Tribune these past couple years, is the main goal for all journalists should be to present accurate information and present an unbiased perspective on things, but that isn't necessarily how every media outlet works. That isn't necessarily how it always ends up. And the best thing that you can try to do with either your followers or your readers is to build that trust with them that you are an accurate source, and get them to come to you first before they go anywhere else. And really the way to do that is to, and the way that I kind of try to do that is to always be accurate and always be fair in my reporting, and making sure that the information that's being presented is not just accurate, but also what people want to learn about. You really have to kind of figure out what information the readers want, and also what information they need. The worst thing that you can do is write a story that leaves people asking questions still, because they're missing elements that they needed to have in that story. Because if you either leave something out, they're going to go somewhere else to try to find that other stuff. But also, if you prove to be an unreliable source and have mistakes more often than not, then people are going to stop coming to you first, or even coming to you at all in their search for news, because they're just not going to have any basis of trust in what work you're producing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is there any added tasks that you've had as country and education editor because of the media boom with journalism?
Yeah, I started at the Tribune in September of 2012, and kind of by default of being the young person on staff, I became the social media person, which I did enjoy it too, and so I was very happy to do it, and I had experience from working in kind of with some social media stuff while I was in college as well, so I was ready to jump into that, but that has been an interesting thing to kind of work through, because kind of before I started, the Tribune had a Facebook page, it had a Twitter page, but it really, there really wasn't any use to it, and there were so few people who followed it, either of those accounts, and so one of the goals that I've had is trying to build up the follower base, get more likes on Facebook, and try to get a more regular interaction through those outlets. Over the couple of years that I've been here on the Tribune, I've become more and more comfortable with doing that and more practiced in kind of what, judging how our followers respond to different things. And one of the biggest things that I've learned is it doesn't do you any good to post anything on Facebook or Twitter when your followers aren't there to see it. So kind of learning when your followers are looking at your Facebook pages, and kind of the thing that we've discovered is the more you post, especially on Facebook in the evenings, the more that people are there to read it because they're not at work, they're not doing other things during the day. And so that's just something that you kind of have to do a lot of trial and error with, and until you kind of get the reaction that you're looking for, and then keep it going from there. But as far as kind of my responsibilities with the social media stuff at work, I always try to post, have a couple things go live on the Facebook and a couple things go live on the Twitter every day, just to kind of have that constant, those constant updates going. Every once in a while we get someone who sends us a message on Facebook or Twitter, so having a timely response to that person. A lot of times they're asking about something like how to subscribe to the paper, or they're complaining because they didn't get their paper, and so it's then getting them the right contact information to say, well, please call the following number, or if they provided their number, say that, oh, we will have the appropriate person give you a call back. So I spend a portion of each day working on the actual Twitter or the Facebook pages. And then sometimes during breaking news, we try to do some live coverage. We try to have something on the website always, but just for the fact that Twitter and Facebook are so much more instantaneous, it's very easy to just upload a photo or a little caption to something and say, and then refer people to our website to say, for more information, please go to our main page where updates will be posted as they become available. So that's kind of the interesting thing too, is using the Facebook and Twitter to drive viewers to our website and to our content there. So every week is a couple of hours of time dedicated solely to social media. And kind of like I said, a lot of that is because I voluntarily took it on, but we're really trying to, kind of starting with this January, we've tried to start making social media updating something that everybody on staff does, and something that everyone is getting more comfortable with, because we have a pretty diverse staff, and so we have people who have never really used Facebook or Twitter, and so it's kind of training them to understand the basic principles of it, as to some of our sports reporters who every week when they're out at different games are doing live updates continuously throughout the football or the baseball game or the softball game. So it's kind of giving everybody to their level of comfort. And so we've been doing some more training with that this year, and that's something that will definitely continue down the road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's one significant event where you felt like experience was gained as a professional journalist?
I would say that there's so many different types of experiences that you can kind of have on the job. I will say I can probably give a couple of examples that are kind of different. But to this point, what I would say is the coolest event that I've ever gotten to cover is in September of 2012, President Obama came to the Liberty Ford Stamping Plant and did a speech from the plant, and so I had the chance to go and cover that event. And so when you have someone of that magnitude coming to your area, the thing that I learned about that was just dealing with that very, very professional setting. So we had to, the week before, we had to send in our information to request to be at that event as a member of the media. So we had to put in a lot of information through a website link. And so then they conducted background checks on everyone who wanted to attend, who requested to attend that event. So I had to have that background check done. Then we got that confirmation that we had been cleared. And so from that point, we were essentially members of the White House press pool, which just being able to say that was a pretty cool experience. So then we were given kind of the itinerary for the day and when we were supposed to be checked in, and then we had an hour and a half to check in that morning. And so I had from 10 to 11:30 to check in. The speech was at 2 o'clock that afternoon. So media had to be checked in that window, or otherwise you were not going to be allowed in. So got to the plant that morning. My ID was checked immediately at the gate. My car was searched and wanded down to make sure there was nothing in it that was not allowed. Got in then, went to another checkpoint, again showed my ID, and my car was wanded down again, and then got to park, and then the media entrance, they shifted us over to kind of the media side, so there was a media entrance, and had to once again then have myself wanded down, had to open my camera bag, turn on my camera to show that it was a functional camera. Anyone who brought in a laptop or any other piece of equipment, you had to turn everything on to prove that it was what you were saying it was. And so got checked in, and then from that point we kind of had our media area, and it was about 10:45 and the speech wasn't until 2, so we just kind of sat around for the next couple of hours, and then slowly more and more people would file in, and then the employees from the plant kind of took their seats, and then they put people on the stage who were going to be on the stage. And about 1:45, the official White House press pool came in and got to their area, so you knew that we were pretty close to starting. And then pretty much maybe a couple minutes after 2 o'clock, the president walked out on stage. And so my assignment that day was to cover the speech, so I was recording the speech, I was taking photos of the speech, and then afterwards tried to grab a couple of employees to just get their reaction to being in that environment and with that being in the same room as the President of the United States. So the thing that I kind of learned from the learning experience with that was dealing with such a high security situation, going through essentially 5 different checkpoints, and kind of learning that, yeah, in certain areas that it's going to be very formal. And then kind of it was that reiteration of, yeah, you have to be on time, you have to follow the guidelines that sometimes people put out for you. But it was such a rewarding experience to get to cover a speech by the president, and that it was just I kind of stepped back a couple times in that and just had that wow moment of being like 45 feet away from the President of the United States and having a White House press badge on my...
You still have that?
I do. I saved it. I do. I have it on. I have it at my desk at work. So yeah, so that's cool just to have.
Yeah, you were such a newbie because it was when you got hired.
It was very quick into when I started. So that was a big learning experience just in itself, being so fresh to the staff. Kind of another area is breaking news is always something that you you never know exactly what you're going to get thrown into. Just an example, last week I can give, that's always, any breaking news situation is always a good learning experience. Kind of something that anytime I leave the office, even if it's just to go, if I'm not going to an interview, if I'm like going to grab lunch or something, I always take my camera and my notepad with me, mm-hmm. just because you never know if something's going to happen while you're out to lunch or you're going to stumble upon something. Because there's definitely been times where you are just out in the community and you see something interesting happening. Mm-hmm. You kind of stop by and say, "Hi, I'm with the Tribune. What's going on here? If you would tell me a little bit about this." And so sometimes you find stories just naturally being out and about. But just last week, there was a fire at a salvage yard on the south side of Liberty. And so we have a scanner, a police scanner in the office. And so we were all just kind of working on different things. I was typing up quotes from an interview I had just done that morning. And so the scanner said there was a fire at that facility. And my managing editor came over and said, "Hey, can you run out to that?" And I said, "Okay." And so kind of put down my stuff that I was working on and flew out to that. And in that situation, it's one, making sure you're going to the right location. So getting the address down and heading out that way. And then making sure you have your credentials with you. And so once I got closer to the scene, they had shut down a lot of the roads there because the smoke was pretty bad. And so got to the first police officer who was kind of there, showed my ID, said I was with the Tribune, want to cover and take some photos. And then they said, "Okay." They told me where I could park. And we kind of, there was naturally kind of a border around the facility, kind of with their fence, and then there was a railroad track right there. So everyone was kind of standing on the other side of the tracks if you were not actually fighting the fire, mm-hmm. and they didn't want anyone kind of crossing over there, which I was not going to complain about, being closer to a fire than was safe. So you kind of have to be very aware in situations like that and listen to the people who are in charge. But so while I was at that, I was taking photos with the camera. I found the police, the fire chief, spoke with him. There were a couple employees who were standing there watching, spoke with them, was taking photos and posting them to our Facebook and Twitter page, kind of like what we talked about a little bit ago. So a complete example of that. But so really kind of the learning experience from a breaking news situation is just really being adaptive to whatever situation you're in. And one of the biggest things I think in journalism is just, and that takes a little bit to develop, is just being confident in yourself and being confident walking into any situation and knowing what you need to do and finding people that you need to talk to. And really the thing with that is never being afraid to ask. And I mean, what journalists do, we ask questions all the time. So sometimes it's asking, well, who's in charge here? Who would be a person to speak to? And kind of getting your facts and then bouncing around between people until you kind of find the person who's the most expert at that facility or who's in charge. Like the fire chief was clearly the one who was kind of calling the shots in that situation. So finding him and having a couple minutes to chat with him and kind of get an update of what was going on. So yeah, really, really being able to adapt to any situation is probably the thing that you learn the most in the job, because every story is different, every situation is different. And that's really what I enjoy most about the job too, is that every day is different and you really don't know, because that you kind of have your week mapped out with certain events, but there's always something that's going to come up, or there's always a meeting or an interview that's going to go longer, or an interview that's going to spring into something else because of what someone says. So yeah, really it's, there's a lot of variety, and that's really what makes it enjoyable for me, I would say.
Has there been a breaking news story where you didn't know what to do, where you didn't know where to go because it was such like a new event, it kind of not prepared?
Things that I've gone to over that's the thing too. Everything kind of just blends together at a certain point. You kind of trying to think of what year certain things happen, and I would say one of the early things that happened to me also when I kind of a couple months into my job, it was a breaking situation. The morning it was announced, the situation was a sheriff's deputy had filed assault charges against several of, it was a female deputy, and she had filed assault charges on several male deputies in the department, and they had all been charged. And so there was an investigation going internally within the sheriff's department. There was a criminal investigation going on outside of another agency. Mm-hmm. And so the day that broke, I had never really covered a situation like that, especially you're throwing all these things about you need to get the probable cause statement, which is kind of the description of what happened from investigation side, just figuring kind of, I really had to rely on my managing editor and kind of some of the more senior reporters to ask questions about how to go about getting that information, mm-hmm. what questions you need to ask, and especially when you're dealing with an issue like that where it's some pretty serious accusations and some things that were going, sometimes those are some very tough questions and some very uncomfortable questions to ask about, especially when you're asking people that you don't know very well, or you don't even know at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's something that really is a challenge. That was very, very challenging to me. And then learning kind of through that process how to then take all that information and transfer it into a story that you can print. Yeah, really, that was one where I just had to ask a lot of assistance from the other people on staff who had covered and done stories similar to that, just to get their experience and their advice on that. And really, that was kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, this is something that happens, and not every story is a good story, and not every story is something that people are going to feel comfortable with or want to talk to you about, want to answer your questions. And that was definitely a learning experience for me, just having to kind of grow up on the job in a little bit in that regard. And that kind of helps you build that confidence up. Once you kind of get through that one, you say, okay, I did it that time. And then if something like that happens again, I can kind of rely on that experience and learn some more of the legal processes, because that's something that's so challenging to learn without having any sort of law background. Mm-hmm. All these investigations, all these terms they're using, all this protocol that they go through that you have to kind of navigate yourself to be able to get the information you need, figure out who you need to talk to, and then figure out what information you can print, what information you cannot, and kind of taking that information and kind of filing it down into a story that is going to give everything that the readers are going to want, but also be put in a way that they can understand as well.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that college didn't prepare you for besides knowing like the legal processes and everything?
Yeah, if I could have taken a couple of law classes, that would have probably helped for some of those situations. But really, I would say I felt my college program really did prepare me as far as the basis of reporting and being accurate and how to conduct interviews, how to work under a time crunch. The one thing that is kind of working on a time crunch as far as like a class assignment versus as a print deadline is very different. And so I don't think there would be a way for college to really truly prepare you for that. But coming into the job and then being expected to produce 5 stories a week, working on page design, working on website stuff, doing social media. Really, that's just one of those things that when you go out and you start the job, you kind of have to develop that rhythm as you go. Because, you're juggling a lot of different things in college, but it's classes and assignments as opposed to going to this meeting on this day and then getting that story done and knowing when your deadline is for that. You just kind of have to transfer that time management skill into whatever setting that you're going to have professionally. And every week is different, so you have to kind of have that balance shifted a little bit and really just be able to learn how to get everything done in the time that you need to get it done. And you really can't practice that until you're actually in the moment. And so I would say that's kind of one area that's college can only prepare you so far, and then it's really kind of on your own to take that next step. And then just with how much social media has changed in the past couple of years, there was no way that my college courses could have touched on enough of that, because it was changing faster than they could prepare lessons for it. So that's something that everyone has just been watching evolve and trying to stay as up with it as you possibly can. And it's something that's going to continue to evolve. But as a whole, I would say that my college journalism degree and all the classes I took really did prepare me for a vast majority of the basic skills that I needed to have. And then other than that, it's been a lot of learning on the job, quite a lot.
Okay, so last question. Any ideas on what high school students can do when they're ready to expand like beyond high school journalism while they're still in high school?
There really are a lot of opportunities out there. I think kind of the easiest one would be to try to get an internship. Most places will at least listen to someone asking for an internship. A lot of times, different media outlets, whether that's broadcast, whether that's newspaper or magazine, a lot of times it's one of those things that just doesn't hurt to ask and explain who you are and say, I would like to do an internship. A lot of times they'll say, well, we definitely can't do a paid internship, but we might be able to work something out to give you some experience there. Another opportunity is a couple steps below an internship would be kind of doing a job shadow. I know we have students come in to do job shadows on the editorial side with the reporters, as well as on the advertising side all the time. And so that's something where it could just be a day or a couple days. And that kind of lets you just sit in and see what people are doing and kind of get a feel for if that's something you do want to explore further, then you would try to get an internship with that, whatever company you're looking at with that job shadow. Another outlet is for someone who is maybe a little more comfortable. There are always people out searching for freelance work. Sometimes different companies will post that on their kind of on their pages and saying that they're looking for some work there. And really with that, it's just kind of keeping your eyes open for opportunities that are out there. But if you're not finding opportunities, not hesitating to call up a newspaper or a TV news station and saying that you're interested, because a lot of times if you put forth that effort and show that you're interested, people are going to be very receptive to that and willing to work with you, because I think all of us in the industry, whether it's the print side or the broadcast side, we want to encourage people, young high school students and younger students, to get interested in this industry and to pursue it if that's something they want. And so if we can do anything we can to kind of help spark that interest or help someone figure out what they're interested in doing, we'd be more than happy to, I would say, as a whole.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you so much.